This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
شنو المقابل واحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم عشرون من شهر رجب 1445 الموافق لواحد من شهر مارس 2 فبراير جانواري والله في بالي أننا خلصنا من شهر فبراير 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين behind the screen, please, if the voice is not reaching you properly, then you can communicate with Abrahman so that we can switch to something else, inshallah. So, last dars, we talk about the first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ First and the second ayah, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ I guess we started with that one. So, Okay, alhamdulillah. يقول الله عز وجل ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. ذلك الكتاب بمعنى هذا الكتاب. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says this is the book in which there is no doubt in it, authenticity, accuracy, perfection. You know, no deficiency in it, no contradiction. As Allah سبحانه وتعالى says ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. If Quran is to be sent by somebody else, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if Quran is a book written or produced by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found in the Quran a lot of discrepancies and also differences, yeah, contradictions. There is no contradiction in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to be very careful. Sometimes we say that there is a contradiction between this ayah and this ayah. No, there is no contradiction in the book of Allah. You just need to understand the way the system works. You get it? You just need to understand the way the system works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes something, as he's going to mention this also in the future. He prescribes something which fits our nature now. He already decreed that in the near future this will be removed. And then something else will be brought. Yeah, there was no contradiction. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yamhu ma yasha'u wa yuthbit wa indahu ummul kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delete and erases whatever he wishes. Wa indahu ummul kitab. You know, lahul mahfuz, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does have a right to delete and to keep whatever he wants. So ma nansakh min ayatin aw nunsiha nati bi khayrin minha aw mithliha alam ta'lam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. We will talk about this bi idhn al-wahidi al-ahad. So the Quran is the most accurate book. It's the most accurate book said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get it? Said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the difference? We don't say written, right? We say said by Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yeah, it's a saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his statement, which is an attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why la yafna wa la yabid. Quran will never end. So Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani says, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ فَيَنْفَتْ وَلَا صِفَةً لِمَخْلُوقٍ فَيَبِيدْ. He says, Quran is not makhluq, in which one day we will find it being gone. وَلَا صِفَةً لِمَخْلُوقٍ, and also it is not an attribute for the makhluq. فَيَبِيدْ. Because go and look at your pictures, if you have one when you are young, for sure you are not like this. You change, and when you age, sometimes we need to focus so much to recognize you. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a good life and healthy life. And the scholars have mentioned that the more righteous you are, the better your body, you know, become in the future. You know, احفظ الله احفظك. Some people, you know, subhanAllah, they age, but as if they are very young. And this is a result of being righteous in the past. So it's really important for you to make your young life, you know, perfect, especially the youth. This is really necessary. And from 15 to 30, at least. Some say up to 40, you're still youth. After that, then you will be in the sinnu al-kuhula, that's the age of perfection, you know, and the way the brain is supposed to be mutakamil, complete. And Ibn Jawzi call it sinnu al-tawakuf. Yeah, after 40 years, you pause. Yeah, and then after a few years, then the generation will start accept those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those ones. Yeah, they age, but still they're very, very young. So ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the book that is given to all of us. So as a guidance for us, you know, to guide us toward the path of success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe who are the muttaqun here, because he says the one who benefits from this book, they are the muttaqun. You know, yeah, they said the most people who are benefiting from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are these muttaqun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. We define the muttaqun, right, literally and also technically, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some of their qualities, so that it will be easy for you to join that community, right? What should I do to become one of them? And we didn't need this this explanation. Yeah, so much, because we are living in a time where wilayatu Allah Azza wa Jalla is only for certain people. You and I cannot join. You get the idea? So they just restricted it to those who I call sometimes criminals. Iwallah, criminals. In the name of Sharia, they come with a cloth of righteousness, but they are magicians actually, showing you things which looks like karamat, but they are dajjal. Yeah, a person who is flying in the air, you know, and some of them, they might do all types of evils, but we still believe that, they are okay, you know. A'udhu billah, he committed zina. I heard one of them, I will not mention his name, but yani, subhanAllah, mentioned about the awliya. I think this is very famous clip. It was mentioned about their awliya. They said awliya ush-shaytan, Ibn Taymiyyah called them. He has a book, Al-Furqan Bain Awliya al-Rahman wa Awliya al-Shaytan. Very little tiny book, but very beneficial. You need to read it to understand how to get rid of these guys who are cheating, you know, the communities. Yeah. So it was mentioning that they have, you know, awliya muhaddithun, and they are taking shisha and smoking cigarette, and they are doing hadith. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. And he was mentioning that yeah, minhum man dubit annahu yazni. They got him committing zina, and one of his students is there warming up the water for him so that he will not miss the prayer. You hear that? You Allah. Long ago I used to have a book. I couldn't tolerate keeping that book. this is their book, and nobody can reach those books except somebody who they permit. Because trust me, if you are to read that book, subhanAllah, whoever is following them, if he still have his consciousness, he is going to leave them within a second. Yeah. So these are all Dajjal, but they call them awliya. Yeah, they call them awliya. And just remember, so that you will understand what I'm talking about. He mentioned in that book that one of them came to the masjid and he told them, "Ashhadu an la ilaha lakum illa Iblis alayhi salam." Alayhi salam. These are his words. He said he bear witness that they don't have something anyone to worship except Iblis alayhi salam. And the guy called him Wali. A'udhu billah. And when people shouted, because these are people who are within their common sense, you know, this is very, very, very common sense, you know. You need somebody to tell you this? Started screaming in the masjid, so he pulled out his sword and started just hitting people. Mention somebody who used to go to the house of the prostitution. You know, and whoever comes out of that house, he will hug him and tell him, "Go. Maghfur lak, your sins are forgiven." You know, wallahi, things that you cannot believe in them, but they are written, you know, in those places, you know, subhanAllah. That's why you always say Alhamdulillah for being a Sunni, you Allah. You should always say Alhamdulillah for being a Sunni. Yeah, this ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have this correct manhaj, which others have been deprived from. It. So that's why I said it's good for us to know this, because they believe that those awliya is just for those few people. You cannot join them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disappointed them, alhamdulillah. He says, "Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun." The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no fear in this dunya. You know, I'm sorry, they have no fear in the future when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, whatever they will leave in this life, they shouldn't be sad, because Allah will take care of it. Yeah, what we know to be awliya is somebody that you cannot even look at them, you know. You cannot even look at them. And if you manage to see them, khalas, wasalt. You get it? I told you, some of them, they give them literally the key, big key, you know. They call them the key to Jannah. And this guy doesn't pray, doesn't fast, doesn't do anything, because he already has the key to Jannah. Yeah, physical key, you know. Sure. Why do you pray? Go to Jannah, right? I already have the key with me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "These are not my awliya. My awliya is alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun." The one who believes in Allah and put his faith into practice according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for him, these are the awliya. Khalas, case closed. Yeah, so the same goes to the muttaqeen. Man huwa al-muttaqi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaibi ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون." To close that page of awliya, that is a statement said by Imam Shafi, very interesting. He says, when you see a person flying in the air or walking on the water, shouldn't trust him. Because somebody criticizes that we don't accept karamat. This is kadhib. We believe in karamat. Yari karamat al-awliya. It can happen. It happens in the past, and it can happen also up to date. Salafus Salih, they are most accepting people. Why would they reject it? It's a fact that it can happen. But when it happens, do we see that person promoting this? "Oh, last month I do this for me, that means I am so and so and so person, you should respect me." No, the righteous people run away from people when somebody sees this. You get an idea. So Imam Shafi says, if you see a person flying in the air, or walking on the water, he says, don't trust him until you weigh his affairs with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, it's very simple. Weigh what he's doing with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see whether it goes with it or not. And trust me, many of them, if a person is to come out and boost out that I'm wali, or accept all of those things that people are doing, you know, licking his shoes and all of these things, trust me, if you're going to check his affairs out of this, you know, you will not want to know. Imam Shafi says, weigh his affairs first with the Quran and the Sunnah to see whether he is doing the right thing or not. Then you can trust him. Taib, after we trust him, what next? We go and clean his najasa and eat it? Yeah, I'm just mentioning things which people are doing. After Rasulullah, there was nobody who received this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spit, they jump and get it and wipe their faces with it and their body. He never told them anything. When he makes wudu, they try not to let any drop of water falling down. They get it. It's a blessing. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is tahir, you know, from any dimension, you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is tahir. In and out. Alive and dead. That's why Abu Bakr kissed him when he died. He said, Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was alive, he called somebody to cut his hair. Yeah? So he held the hair, because he has long hair. So he held it like this. He called the man, he says, please cut from here. He cut. He called one of the companions, Adhunhu Abu Talha. He says, take this. Gift for you. Subhanallah. Took it. So happy. They said, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody was sick, they would take some part of the hair, put in the water and give it to him. You get okay. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. They used to have a jubba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, don't go to some countries without mentioning name, they give you one jubba and they call it, you know. In some countries also they did it in a nice way, very nice way. They have a ring. They said this is a ring of Khatamun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know that was made from gold?
Yes, sir.
Gold. And they said this is Khatamun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see how kadhib is that? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is like putting fire on your hand, you know, never put, you know, one khatam min dhahab. He has the one from silver. Those guys, they forgot to do the business in the right way. They bring gold and they tell people, this is Khatam al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they understand people, they are very busata. A lot of people believe. And people might be traveling to go for that, to see that one. So what I'm trying to say, even if you discover that Abdurrahman is wali, what next? Say Allahumma ameen. What next? We go and do all of these things? No. It's only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why there was no narration which is authentic to my knowledge that mentioned that the companions used to do this with Abu Bakr. They all believe that he's the best. Wali number one after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, alal itlaq, is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Among all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings, if you subtract the prophets and the messengers of Allah, number one in the wilayah is Abu Bakr. But they never did this. And then somebody will come and tell us that we have to do this with ordinary people, we don't even know who they are. Even if you know who they are. Is it part of our Sharia? No. I was watching one of them who was sitting there, down there. And then he looked at the people sitting down there. He says, this man that visited us, you should know that from now onwards, all of your sins are forgiven. Even the kids also couldn't tolerate that. They were laughing. What is that? He said, this is really an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, that this man visited us. He says, you should know that from now onward, all of your sins are forgiven. And Allah musta'an, go and see in the way I saw, you know. Stick to tafsir. So Imam Shafi's statement is the only one to be followed here. Whoever comes and claim this, look at his life. Yeah, you will understand whether he is good or not. And even if you see that he is good, so what? Finish. Yeah, just respect him like anybody else. Yeah, give him the right to give to righteous people. But he doesn't deserve anything extra. You know, we have to really be careful. He doesn't deserve anything extra. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The first quality of those what they call muttaqoon is al-Iman bil ghayb. Last time we talked about some of the ghayb, right? What is ghayb? The unseen, right? What we cannot see, starting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the way to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made hidden and He informed us about their existence. Right? Rabbul Alameen, the greatest and the most high, the strongest. The one that you don't mention him except in the sense of seriousness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they said he will be moving on the mimbar, you know, in the way you will think that he's going to fall down. His eyes will become red. And that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see the seriousness. And this is what we're supposed to do. You get the idea? We have to be serious. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is involved on something, you really need to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ اَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمْ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُ. You get the idea? All of these nusus, you put them together, it helps you, inshallah, to understand that you are dealing with somebody that accepts no jokes. Joke around somewhere else, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to relax and cool down. Yeah, that's why you don't use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like that. It has to be on something serious. You know, it has to be on something serious. And bi-iznillahi azza wa jal, if you are, you know, to be sincere in your word, you get an idea, whenever the name is being mentioned, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, your heart will be moving from its position to consciousness. That's why I told you the one of those stories of the kids, you know, just reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cried. And this is a young boy. Allah, because there is still the part of the heart, although he is told, you know, four handfuls. It's a very simple reminder about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches, and you know who he is. That was more than enough for him to cry. And to go and bring all of those wounds that he stole, that was more than enough for him to reflect. Yeah. And then somebody will come and tell us, no, the younger people, they shouldn't be reminded about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's too scary for their age. أعوذ بالله أعوذ بالله. That's why they يطلعون كما نراهم هذه الأيام. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching children about Allah from the childhood, very young age, as long as they can understand. Of course, he talked to him according to his age. He talked to him according to his age. You don't go to a younger boy and تنزل عليه آيات الجهنم. No, you don't do that. But talk to him about his according to his age. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Allah, created this and that, the most powerful, shouldn't disobey him. You know, and go gradually, you know, until the time you tell him what he needs to know. And that would not take very long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So, yu'minuna bil ghaib, starting from Allah, the angels, you know. We will talk about them, inshallah, in the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them. We will talk about them. Angels, you know, jinns also, they do exist. Yeah, we have to believe in that. Jinns exist. There are some who don't believe that jinns exist. Leave them with their belief. Sharia told us that jinn exist. You get it? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surah al-jinn. What does that mean? Al-qur ruhaniya. Well, some people, you don't understand why they put themselves into that position to reject what is very, very clear. That's why al-mutanabbi was right when he says, وَلَيْسَ يَصِحُّ فِي الْأَذْهَانِ شَيْءٌ إِذَا احْتَاجَ النَّهَارُ إِلَى دَلِيلِ. You understand what does that mean? He said there is nothing that can be okay, you know, in the brain, as long as we still believe that a day needs an evidence to be established. I tell Harun, this is a day. He tell me, how do you know? Yes, Al-Mutanabbi says, لَيْسَ يَصِحُّ فِي الْأَذْهَانِ شَيْءٌ إِذَا احْتَاجَ النَّهَارُ إِلَى دَلِيلِ. Yeah, some of these issues, you know, they're very clear. You don't need to have eyes to see them, actually. They're so clear in the way they present themselves. But still you have some people who will tell you, no. Yeah. Like the jinn and the position of the jinn. There's still some people who don't believe in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَالَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. You want to disagree in the way people are removing the jinn from the human beings? Yeah, this is something else. Yeah, we also can support you in some of these. Because you became part of the dajjal. But to reject the whole thing which is there in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we believe in their existence. They do exist. You get it? And Jannah and Nar, they do exist. And also all of the Ashrat al-Sa'ah, these are part of the unseen, right? That's why we have to take their interpretation from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? We just leave them, we understand them literally. You know, we don't use our own interpretation. Otherwise, you end up like that guy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him to understand how dangerous is living in the Muslim, non-Muslim territories, and to leave the place immediately and stay with the Muslims and make tawbah. Yeah, I'm saying this because he was saying by himself that kuffar taught him the manhaj as-sahih. Yeah, I don't like criticism, but when I hear a person by himself talking about this, it's not easy to be deleted, you know. And then talking about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, he's the one who called them zombies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdi aqlahu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide his aql. Ya Allah. Allah guide his aql. And that's the result of living in the midst of those enemies and cooperating with them. You go on side with the Orientalist, enemies of Islam, enemies of the Sharia, the real kuffar. And you come and tell us that yes, you learned the correct approach in the deen from them. They're the one who taught you. What are you talking about? That's why you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-hidayah. Wallahi, I really urge you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-hidayah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-hidayah. And try your best, you know, no matter what. Quran and the Sunnah should be the only thing you see in front of you. Yeah. This is the protection you have, wallahi. Quran and the Sunnah, you know, according to the interpretation of the first three generations. Those ones, they will give you the literal interpretation, no deviation, straightforward. Stick to that. Having fulana lilana, lilana, fulana lilana will not benefit you, you know. I don't want to talk about this, but it's really disturbing where we are going, you know. And taqad taqul, like Imam al-Zahabi says, you know, we have only a few. You have those who exaggerated and went beyond the limit, you know, and took almost everyone out of Islam. Nobody is correct except them. And you have those mutasahileen who are almost going to accept kufr. Who is following the correct manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wallahi, there are very few. Those who know how to respect knowledge and the scholars and understand knowledge correctly and really stick to that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and guide people upon the right manhaj, there are very few, very few. Either those who exaggerated, they're not benefiting the community, they're not tolerant, and they're not doing anything. Or you have those people who are in the other taraf, you know. You don't have somebody who is according to the wasatiyah sahiha. Wasatiyah sahiha, I'm saying the wasatiyah, the correct one, which is to follow the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely. Yeah, you have to really be careful and be patient, you know, to stay with the Muslim community and study the Sunnah. Learn the Sunnah, learn the Sunnah, learn the Sunnah a lot. And inshallah, you'll be protected. But on top of all, as I said, always take the example of these guys as a message to you. That these ones, they once used to be, mashallah, everything is perfect. Like this one that I'm talking about, subhanAllah, look at his previous lectures on Tawheed. Things that you'll be proud to share them with the beginners, you know, who want to learn about Tawheed. But then suddenly, 160 degree or 360 or something degree, you know, change just like that. Allah is a very scary message to us that we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our heart. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always said, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. I cannot remember the name of one of them from Saudi. He wrote books on Tawheed. Very excellent person. But then he turns into Mulhid. Mulhid means atheist. Ya Allah, his issue is very, very good lesson for all of us. That we should look for the hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be very careful. Don't risk your iman. Yeah, don't risk your iman. Out of the hope towards something that is uncertainty. May Allah grant us a good and tawfiq. So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. So the ashrat al-sa'ah, all of them are part of the unseen. When do we see their interpretations? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk about that, our scholars mentioned what exactly Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, if something is there. If nothing, we understand them when they happen. Otherwise, you end up being like these guys. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, even I heard somebody saying that. Not Ya'juj and Ma'juj. What is the name of that bad person? Dajjal. He said Dajjal already happened, came long ago and finished. Yeah? And in some of his statements, he says he already knows where the Dajjal is going to come from. And he says this, he's the only one who knows that. So I say, Alhamdulillah, you're the only one. Because if other people also know, have this knowledge, it will be tragedy. He says he's the only one. And he will be coming from the UK. And I'm just trying to remember his words. He says, from the UK. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْرُجْ مِنْ أَرْضٍ يُقَالْ لَهَا أَسْبُحَانْ. He says, from the place which is called Asbuhan. يَتْبَعُهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا مِنَ الْيَهُودِ على رؤوسهم الطيالسة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يهود أصفهان. أصفهان where is it?
Iran.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said from that place the Dajjal will emerge and he will be followed by 70,000 Jewish of Asbuhan. And then this person is telling us that he's going to come from. Yeah. And some of them said the Dajjal is none other than the feminist movement, the feminism. Yeah, and the funniest one is the one that says an opinion which, I don't know whether you see that thing or not. You know, remember the TV in the past? It was just like a box, right? Not the flat screen one, those ones. He says that's the Dajjal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. Because the Dajjal has one eye, and that TV, if you look at it, is just like one eye. Allahu Musta'an. So if you remember this concept that everything that happened to you with the hereafter and the Ashrat al-Sa'a is part of the unseen. You get the idea? We know the interpretation if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us or when it happens. You get the idea? When it happens. No. May Allah grant us good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my last example concerning this. I just want you to understand how weird are those interpretations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when that person saw a wolf, and the wolf spoke to him. You remember the story, right?
Yes.
The wolf took his sheep and he went and chased it and bring it back. And then the wolf sat down in a place and looked at him and said, yeah, today you take it from me. But who is going to protect them the day of the wolf? The man was surprised. He says, a wolf? Animal is talking? And then that wolf told him, no, why is my speech, you know, surprising? He said, the most surprising thing is that the man is there in Medina inviting you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you guys are not willing to follow. He's referring to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man rushed to Medina and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what happened? So he told him the story in detail. Question, did he hear the wolf speaking? Yes, literally, you know. Physically, he speaks to him. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by Allah, a day will come, the animal will speak to you. He is referring to this one. And then somebody will come and tell you, no, he's not referring to that one. He is referring to the training we're giving to the monkeys. And the weirdest one is the one that says the phone, you know. I don't know how to make connect. How does he make the connection between the phones and the... And that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Cartoons,
right? Yeah. He says, your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your shoes will speak to you about what was done in your house when you were absent. Your thigh will talk to you about what happens in your house when you are absent. These are all signs of the day of judgment because it is abnormal against the norm. And then somebody will come and give you weird interpretation and you have so many who are accepting them because we are always looking for strange things. So being Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is really good and necessary. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah means sticking to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Quran according to the interpretation of the Salafus Salih. أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish the prayer. What is Iqamat al-Salah? Iqamat al-Salah is to do how many things? Four things. I will not forgive you because I have been saying this in almost every. And those of you who are coming to all of my classes and you have heard this maybe tens of times, you know, and then you kept quiet. So may Allah guide you and me also. There are four things to be observed for you to be considered as muqim salah. Number one, sincerity. Ikhlas. Okay? Number one is sincerity, to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, al-mutaba'a, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, al-khushu'a, praying attentively. What is khushu'? Hudur al-qalbi wa sukun al-jawarih. To pray attentively, the heart to be very attentive to what you're doing, and also your limbs to stick to one position, not moving here and there. You know, some if they are praying next to you, ya waylak. Some people when they pray next to you, you really need to change, say assalamu alaikum, and change your position. They move here and there, here and there. You need to pinch them from the side, and they will not pinch you back, you know, to let them stick to one place. Yeah, Salafus Salih, when they pray, subhanAllah, they're taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they maintain one position. I remember one of them when he died, the neighbors, the boy was telling his mother, he said, "Mom, I don't see the tree that used to be on top of our neighbor's house." So she smiled, she told him, "No, that was not a tree, that was our neighbor. He used to come at night when he thinks that nobody watches him and pray Qiyamul Layl on top of his house." So those one, they saw him. So the boy, because he doesn't see him moving here and there, he thought he's just a stick. You know? And we have a lot of examples like this, you know, contrary to many, many of us. So Hudur al-Qalb wa Sukun al-Jawarih, your heart has to be attentive, and also the limbs should be in one position. Yeah, crying is not part of, might be part of khushu', but doesn't necessarily mean khushu'. Because I might cry when you cry. This is very natural, right? When the imam cry in the Masjid al-Haram, and everyone is okay, imam talk about hell, talk about anything, nobody's crying. But the moment the imam start crying, everyone is crying. So we're not saying they are not sincere, but this is very natural. When somebody cries, he provoke you also to cry. So crying might not be the result of khushu'. Khushu means you are very attentive to your prayer. This is khushu. Wasukun al-jawarih. So that's number three. Number four, praying on time. Yeah? To pray on time. On time meaning according to the movement of the sun and the rising of the dawn. Every Muslim should learn this. Yeah, because you might be in a place where there is no calendar for you to know the prayer time. So you can trace that through the movement of the sun. This is very necessary. And if I am to remind about anything, it is to remind you about one prayer, which is Isha prayer. Try not to pray after the midnight, because all the nusus that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're saying that Isha prayer time ends by the midnight. It ends by the midnight. I know many scholars said up until Fajr, but the correct opinion, with no doubt, is the one that says nisful layl. And that's what was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ila nisfi layl. You get the idea? Yeah. And Fajr prayer time, just pray according to the system. And usually in every country that we have, between the Adhan and the Iqamah, we have around 10 to 15 minutes. Please, the sisters at home, try pray after the time, in about, after about 10 to 15 minutes. 15 minutes is very fine. Get the idea? And to avoid mistakes, you know, I mean being wrong, because sometimes some of the mu'adhinin, they make adhan according to the wrong time. And there is also a big controversy among the scholars concerning the time itself also. May Allah grant us good. So, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish the prayer with sincerity and also following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because if you are sincere but you don't do it like Rasulullah, the prayer is batil. وَيُقِيمُنَ الصَّلَاةَ, and also you do it with khushu, and also you pray on time. Praying not on time intentionally will invalidate your prayer. Please pay attention to this and inform everyone. If you delay the prayer until after the time, as long as you are not among those who are excused, you know, to combine this prayer with another prayer, your prayer is batil even if you pray 1 million times. Yeah, this should be very clear to all of us. Anytime there are anything that Allah wants to fix a time for it, if a person delay it until later time, you know, intentionally, that thing will not be accepted from him. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. If you do anything which you don't have a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be rejected. Is that clear? Because there are some people who will come and delay the prayers intentionally and combine them all at home. They are wasting their time. Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Even the mujahideen fi sabilillah, Allah did not give them excuse to pray at home. They have to pray at the battlefield. If they cannot do the jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا. Pray according to your ability. While you're walking, while you're fighting, just do. But you cannot skip the time. So whoever is giving you the fatwa to combine prayers at home and you go is cheating you in your religion. You Allah, pray on time. Every single prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have given it a fixed time for it. So even if you don't want to listen to this statement of the scholars, but be on the safe side in your religion, you know. Be on the safe side in your religion. Except somebody who has the excuse to combine the two prayers, right? Yeah, we have how many types of jama? Okay, jama ta'akhir, jama taqdim, right? If you look at the time you are making the jama, right? If you look at the sabab, how many types we have? Two also. Okay, looking at the time you pray, jama ta'akhir wa jama taqdim. You have a third one actually. I just want Abdurrahman to be wrong. You have a third one also. Jam al-Suri. Jam al-Suri had this is the one that some scholars agree with it. They don't accept any jam except this one, which is to delay the Zuhr prayer until 10 minutes before it finishes. And then you go and make wudu. By the time you say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, asr prayer time begins. And then you stand up and pray asr. Are you combining them? No, because you pray each prayer on time, right? The only thing is that when you look at them, you know, a person will say, yeah, because he just finished dhuhr and then start with asr. So this is jama. But in reality, it's not jama. Some scholars, this is the only one they accept, but we will learn that this in fiqh, inshallah. But that is, Suri, Shakli, looking at the cause, we have also two. Al-jam'u fi safar, wal-jam'u fi al-hadar. The causes of jam'u fi safar, al-jam'u fi al-hadar. The cause for the jam of his safar is raf'u al-mashaqqa, yani madhannat al-mashaqqa. We are expecting a person to be in a state of hardship, then it is okay for him to combine the prayers. You get it? And remember my word, I said madhannat al-mashaqqa. Yeah, what does that mean? Expectation, the fear of you being in a state of hardship, not hardship itself. Because if you say hardship itself, that means nowadays there's no hardship. I go to Saudi, inshallah, I just go to KLIA, aeroplane take me in an air conditioning, I even sleep, you know, I relax, the food is there, everything is there, you know. And then in 8 hours, I'm already there. Which mashaqqa is that? That means I shouldn't combine the prayers. Do you get the idea? That's why they say madhinnatul mashaqqa, the expectation of you being in a state of hardship, right? So that's why whether you are in a state of hardship or you're not, you are entitled to do the jama, as long as you are musafir. As for the jama fil hadar, this one is only permissible. The cause for this is rafu al-haraj. Yeah, rafu al-haraj. So that one is madhinnatu al-mashaqqa li rafi al-mashaqqa al-mutawqa. And the second one is rafu al-haraj. Rafu al-haraj means there is a situation in which if we don't let you combine the prayers, you'll be in a state of difficulty. Do you get the idea? That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, when they ask him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combined between the two prayers, why did he do that? Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, one day, they ask him, why did he do that? He says, Arada Allah yuhrija ummatahu. He was doing that so that he would not put his ummah in the state of difficulty. You are a surgeon. A surgeon, you get inside the room, you cut somebody, and then the whole time arrives. And you know that this surgery takes 5 hours, and you have to be there. And then Abdurrahman tells you, قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. I'm pretty sure that a sick person will be telling him, doctor, please don't listen to that fatwa, you know. Finish with me first. You know? Yeah. Can the doctor combine the prayers? Yes. He combined Dhuhr and what do you call? And Asr. What if he delayed the prayer until the last minute of the Asr, and this operation is not willing to finish, and he really need to be there? Can he say, Wallahi, this is my deen. Ya akhi, I'm very sorry. We want you to live, but I have tried my best. So I will go and pray. Inshallah, as long as I'm doing ibadah, inshallah, Allah SWT will protect you. Fi sabilillah. Can you do that? No, if you do that, legally you are contributing to his death if he dies. And Islamically, you have to pay the consequence. You have to pay the tiyah if he dies. Because you contributed to that. So what must you do in that regard? You pray while cutting him. Yeah. You are pinching him with this and that. Okay, I just saw in the TV the way they do it. You're pinching him. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamidahu. Why do you make sujood? On him? No, you just do the ima. You know. Allah says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا. And this is applicable in any case that you have fear of death, or if you don't do that, your friend or your brother will die. Islam is very simple. That's why Abdullah ibn Unais, he prayed while walking. But he was afraid if he prayed, stop and pray, he could be easily discovered by the enemies and that person would kill him. So he just walked and prayed like that. Anyway, so if a person is not qualified to combine the prayers, and how about those people who are having an examination?
Stop in the middle of the exam to pray?
Can you combine between the two? Yes, you can.
Can you pray where you sit?
No, cannot. You have to pray while standing. That's why you delay until the last minute. After the last minute, you tell the invigilators that I did not pray, what is the name of the prayer? Asr, for instance. And the time is going to finish and I'm not allowed to reach Maghrib. He says, no, we are kuffar. We don't agree with we don't agree with the prayers. You just have to pray in the way you are. I mean, stand up and pray next to the place. You must. Yeah, you might be losing that. It's not good for you actually to continue with that. Any education that would not help you to preserve your relationship with Allah SWT is not good for you. Inshallah, it would never happen in this way, but I'm just you are giving the worst case scenario. So just pray in the place itself. If you have wudu, just pray like that. If you don't have wudu, make tayammum. Because if you go out, they will consider you as somebody who cheated. So just try to taste the Qibla. If you couldn't, ask the Sheikh compass, you know, Qibla detector to tell you where it is. If they don't let you take the phone, do ijtihad. And pray like that. If afterwards you realize that you have prayed actually against the Qibla, that's okay. Yeah, when you make ijtihad, you pray, and then later on you realize that it wasn't towards the Qibla, you pray, it's okay. Inshallah. Islam is simple, but you have to be also serious in preserving your deen. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And also it takes from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with, and they give in charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they believe in ghaib and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they have iman, right? And we mentioned iman has how many components? Three, right? To believe in the heart, to say that which you believed in with the tongue, and also to put that one into practice and action. This is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Only Abu Hanifa says, a'mal, actions are not part of the iman. Do understand this, you know, for those of you who still remember what we did in the Tahawiyah, which I doubt. Tahawiyah did an excellent job when he talked about this issue. He says, not the Tahawiyah, Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, he says, if you look at the controversy amongst them, actually it's khilaf lafzi. Khilaf lafzi means, I mean, it looks like khilaf, but in reality they don't have this agreement here. Because even he himself also, he says, al-a'mal wajibat al-iman. There is no way for iman to be accepted except when you apply the wajibat. But he disagrees with defining iman using the action. which the majority of the scholars said, no, we have to put the action. And this is a correct one. But in terms of application, both of them agreed that iman is not going to be accepted if you don't have the actions. You must act upon it. That's why he says, lafzi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِيَا إِيمَانَكُمْ, right? And he's referring to the prayer. He called the prayer iman. Is that clear, inshallah? So, قَالَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يَنْفِقُونَ. They have the belief and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them of risk. You know, you see here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ التبعيد, right? From that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. That means not all of the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So in infaq, moderation is required. Right? You should be moderate in infaq. Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ أُنُقِكَ. You know, you folded your hand, you close it. You know, you become very stingy, you don't give. Allah says, do not do that. وَلَا تَبْسُطَهَا كُلَّ الْبَصْ. And at the same time also, don't open the hand, you know, widely and tell everyone to come and pick up everything. Both are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be moderate, right? He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. You know, in fact, Allah wants you to be moderate. The point is to give, you know, according to your capability, not to be stingy and not to show off and not to harm the person that you're giving. Yeah, I give him. Abdurrahman, this is yours. But then tomorrow when he comes to this place, I tell Abdurrahman, how is the thing, you know? In front of everyone, I'm asking him, how's the thing I gave you? Do you enjoy it? La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, this is harm. Yeah. I heard a sister gave, Allahu alam, a sister gave hijab to another sister who was very poor. And she talked about this in the presence of others. Alhamdulillah, we succeeded. We managed to provide sister so-and-so and so hijab. Inna lillahi minna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. That's why the smartest person in terms of making gift, wallahi, please take this from me, is the one that make it secret. It's the one that make it secret. I learned this is the best thing to be done. You get respect in many, many ways. Allah respects you. Allah will love you bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. And also you'll be loved by the community. Those people who know what you're doing. Yeah. Somebody called Kareem. Call me. This is just a story I'm creating. You know? Don't say this. Somebody called Kareem. Call me. Please, I need this. Help me. There is no any other way for me to get this except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and muhsinun like you. Please help. Okay, I wanted to help. Please meet me in KLCC. In front of, I'm just randomly saying, in front of everyone, then I say, okay, that's Jazakallah khairan. Can we have a Salafi or selfie? Allah musta'an. Yeah, this is nowadays. And I give charity, I have to make a picture that I'm giving charity. Anyway, so what is the best thing to do? And please do apply this. In every help you support somebody, do apply this. Tell him no worries. Just stay where you are. I will discuss that with you. Wallahi, if you know his house, just go to his house. Meet him in secret. Do not let any of his children to come to the place. Sit with him in secret and give him whatever you can give, you know. And if it is loan, tell him, please hold this. Whenever you can afford paying, please pay me back. No, inshallah, next month, no, I don't want this. Yeah, I know sometimes you might need it, you can fix the time, but I'm just guiding you to the best. Tell them, I don't want this. Just whenever you can pay, please come back. Because what happened is, I tell him, Brahman, I will pay you after 1 month, and then 1 month comes, I couldn't get. And then tomorrow when I come to the class, trust me, I will not come to the class. Why? Because he's there. However, between me and him is, the agreement is that whenever I can afford paying, I pay him back. I will be very free. I respect him, and I really respect him for that help and support. I will never forget this. But it will not deprive me from making progress in my life. I just have to be honest. Whenever I get the money, I go and pay him back, you know. poet says, إِذَا الْجُودُ لَمْ يُرْزَقْ خَلَاصًا مِنَ الْأَذَى فَلَا الْحَمْدُ مَكْسُوبٌ وَلَا الْمَالُ بَاقِيَا. He says, if the generosity is not blessed by خَلَاصًا مِنَ الْأَذَى, what is خَلَاصًا مِنَ الْأَذَى? You staying away from harming the one who is receiving the generosity from you, you're losing everything. First, you lose the side of Allah. And second of all, you lose the side of that person because he will never respect you. And third of all, you lost your money. You will lose as a loss because Allah doesn't accept that one. You lost your money, yeah. And you lost that person because he will not respect you. Yeah. That's why sometimes you will be surprised. Muhammad tell me, I'm going to help you. I tell him, I'm good. He tried, no, don't worry. I tell him, no, it's okay, it's fine. He tried, it's fine. Abdurrahman will come and tell me, but why didn't you accept? You need it. I say, yeah. I don't want this one. He doesn't know. I know what. He will not. Because there are some people who will give you, and they will go and tell others that, yes, we provided him what he needs with this and that. So these type of people, I'm telling you, if you're not in a state of necessity, it's better for you to stay away from anything that is coming from them. Tell them, la wa shukran. Okay, be kind. Don't say la shukran. La wa shukran. You're saying shukran. Thank you very much for your kindness. But I'm okay, inshallah. Inshallah. I'm expecting something. Allah grant us good. So, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. I give you the secret. Whenever there is a need for you to donate, don't be stingy. Donate. The more you donate, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you. Yeah? I used to have this principle. Make space in your pocket so that the new one will come. Don't keep it full all the time. But it doesn't mean don't save. No, we want you to become... Sharia wants you to become, if you wish, you know, the richest person on earth. Actually, this is what is supposed to be done. We, the Muslims, are supposed to be the richest. Richest. Nobody is like us. We go and engage in business. We get everything we can get. Yeah, because we are the most ones who will be using it in the right way. نعم المال الصالح عند الرجل الصالح أو للرجل الصالح كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the ones that are believing in that which is revealed to you. That which is revealed to you, ما أنزل إليك, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to you. What is that? Salam. When did you accept Islam? Al-Quran, right? Yeah. Why do you mention and sunnah? I was going to attack you, but then you fix it. Yeah. توقفت فانتبهت. Next time I will not talk. I will attack very, very quickly. Yeah, the Quran was sunnah. You cannot just say the Quran and keep quiet. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us two things: Quran and the sunnah. Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يتفكرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, وأنزلنا إليك الذكرى لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. يعني what is ما نزل إليهم? The Quran. Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant us the sunnah so that we can explain. The sunnah explain the ذكر. And he says, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He says, recite that which is being recited in your houses from the ayat of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. What is that? Quran. And then he says, وَالْحِكْمَةِ. What is the hikmah? Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, how can you read hikmah? Allahumma ameen. So how can you read hikmah? So he's referring to the sunnah. That's why the Salaf scholar said, any place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the hikmah, it's referring to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the knowledge in general. Yu'til hikmata man yasha, right? So, alladhina yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka. Those who believe in that which is revealed to you. What is that? Quran and the Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala inni utitu al-Quran wa mithlahu ma'ahu. Allah has given me Quran and something similar to it. Wa ma unzila min qablika. And that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed before you. What is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed before us? Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, Suhuf Ibrahim, Suhuf Musa. I thought there were six. And there's also one before, right? Okay, that's five. And what else? What is that Kutub Sheath? Arif Sheath Qabla Nuh alayhi salam.
Prophet Noah was also given Sharia.
Yeah, given Sharia, but book, we're talking about books now. وين أهل الفقه؟ يقول الله عز وجل Actually, Sheath, was he a Nabi or Rasul?
Nabi.
Nabi, right? But books are given to Rasul. Where did he get those Kutub Sheath? Hada min kis. Yeah, I like his way. He said, Ruya. Dawood is Zabur.
Was he a Rasul?
Yeah, Dawood is Rasul. Rasul, 100% Rasul, Rasul, Rasul. I think we should start teaching the Arkan al-Iman, you know. So it's like this. Sorry. You have a Rasul, you have Nabi. The one that has book is Rasul. And how many are they? 315, according to the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 315. Each one of them has a book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. We have sent رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. It's kitab هنا للجنس. So according to the best opinion of the scholars, every Rasul has brought a book. Whether he's sharing the book with somebody else, but there is a book which is his book. Every Rasul. So we don't have only six books. We have much more than that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many books, according to the nature and number of the prophets, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not the prophets of Allah. You get the idea? We're talking about the Rusul, because these are the ones that need a book for guidance, yeah, to guide their own people. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send along with them a book. Every Rasul has brought a book. And the first Rasul was Nuh alayhi salam. There was no Rasul before Nuh. That's why Ibn al-Uthaymeen was a bit harsh concerning this matter. He says, whoever tells you that there is a Rasul before Nuh alayhi salam, huwa kadhab. This is a liar. Huwa kadhab. So we might just say akhta, you know, he's wrong. Yeah, but kadhib also sometimes means khata. And akhta, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes when they tell him about some people, he will say kadhab fulan. He's not talking about the literal meaning of lying. He's talking about akhta fulan. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, kadhaba nawfal. The one that says Musa is not Musa ibn Israel in the case of the qissatu alati dhakaraha Quran, Musa wa Khadir. Anyway, so ma unzila ilayna, or ma unzila min qablina, what was revealed before us, these are all the books. The one that we know and the one that we don't know. That's why نؤمن بالكتب المنزلة من السماء جملة وتفصيلة. جملة means any book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. That's جملة. Meaning any book, whether we know or we don't know. تفصيلة means those specific book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them, like Zabur, Injil, Torah, Suhuf Ibrahim and Suhuf Musa, according to the opinion that says they are not the Torah. Because some scholars said Suhuf Musa is the same as the Torah. Yeah. And according to Yusuf version, Suhuf Sheath. But not the Quran. Quran never talk about Suhuf Sheath. Anyway, so وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. What are we supposed to believe in those ones? Are we supposed to apply them? No. It depends on the opinion you are taking. This is شَرْعُمَنْ. قبلنا, right? The Sharia of those people who came before us. Some scholars said it is also our Sharia. Some scholars said it is not our Sharia. Some scholars said what agrees with our Sharia is our Sharia. What disagrees is not our Sharia. You get an idea. Which one is the best opinion? None. Yeah, except half of the last one is okay. Yeah, the one that says the thing that we are not sure whether it's okay or not okay, we are not sure. We become neutral. We don't reject it and we don't accept it at the same time. This part is the only one to be taken. The other part, we don't need it at all. Because when they say, what agrees with our Sharia, we take it. What disagree, we reject it. When I take what agrees with our Sharia, what am I taking? Their Sharia or my Sharia? My Sharia. So what is the point of saying this, actually? Do you get what I'm saying, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, if somebody killed another person, we should kill him. Did he tell us also to do that? Yes. So when I apply, can I say I'm using the Sharia of those who came before us? No, I'm not using that one. I'm using my Sharia. So the only thing that is new is how to deal with those information that we get from them, which we couldn't find any verification in our Sharia for them, whether to do or not to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tusaddiquhum wa la tukadhibuhum." Don't reject them and don't accept. Because you might be rejecting what is correct and you might be accepting what is wrong. But he says, "Hadith an Bani Israel, wala haraj." You can narrate hadith from them, wala haraj. There's no problem with that. And he says, "Hadith an Bani Israel, fa inna fihim al ajib." He says, you can narrate stories from them because they have a lot of strange and amazing things. And that's really, 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 really correct. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always say the correct thing. If you read that story, subhanAllah, you find a lot of amazing things. A lot, a lot, a lot. A lot of lessons to be benefited from. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. So, question, you know, these Israeliyat, they are, Israeliyat, when you hear the word Israeliyat, what does that mean? Ruwayat from Bani Israel, right? Which are fake, right? I mean, to us, the da'ifa, right? And, you see how I drag him to make mistake? And he doesn't understand the trick? Yeah, I'm saying this intentionally, actually, because many of us, when you hear Israeliya, that means it's batil. It's not true. Yeah, Israeliyat are divided into three categories. There is Israeliya, because Israeliyat is referring to anything that was brought from them. You get it? Part of their history, whether it's correct or it's wrong. Do you get the idea? It's a general term that includes the correct and the wrong one. That's Israeliyat. However, there are Israeliyat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them about. Told us about it. These Israeliyat, are they correct? Yes. 100% correct. And we believe 100% it happened. There is no being neutral here. We accept it. Although you call it Israeliyat just literally. Do you get the idea? Yeah, it's something that is authentically given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we accept it 100%. There is another category which the chain is weak. This one we do what? We reject it. Or it contradicts our religion. That's why you will find the chain is weak. Or sometimes the chain might not be weak, but it's the interpretation or as something given to us by people like Ka'b al-Ahbar or somebody who used to be a Jew before or a Christian before and he accepted Islam and bring these things also to us. Although that the sanad to him might be okay, but this goes against our religion. What do? We reject it. You get it? The last part is the one that we have just mentioned, which we're not sure. We don't have any specific chain of narration that says yes or no. And then this one we stay away from it. There is a book, I forgot the author. It's a very good book for you to buy. Al-Israeliyat fi Kutub al-Tafsir. Yeah, very good book, Al-Israeliyat fi Kutub al-Tafsir. Because you have the best place to find Israeliyat is the Kutub al-Tafsir. And then the book of Ahadith. So he wrote about Israeliyat in the books of Tafsir. The name is Al-Israeliyat fi Kutub al-Tafsir. I forgot the author, but it's a very good book, inshallah. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they have yaqeen in the akhirah. So this one I don't want to rush, inshallah, because it's very important, you know, part of this ayah, having yaqeen in the akhirah. Do we commit sin? Right, yeah. The moment you're committing the sin, your yaqeen in the akhirah is weak. The more righteous you, the more perfect is your yaqeen on the akhirah, the more righteous you are. It's a very excellent system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to help us to regulate our life and to live a good life. Because when you have yaqeen that you're going to be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment for accountability, what are you going to be doing? You will be busy with that which benefits. You will not waste your time. You will not waste your time. Yeah? Especially in our time, social media and the other media, you know. You will not waste your time in doing inappropriate things. Your time will be sacrificed in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So that's one of the meaning of having yaqeen in the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment is prescribed for us and it's given to us and it's made, you know, to be known to us, the information about it, not the time. The time nobody knows, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed it upon us so that, I mean, He informed us about it exists and that is going to happen on the Day of Judgment so that the person will be standing upright. So inshallah, in the next class, might a little bit talk about this and the last concerning the believers, and then we move to the ayah that talks about the non-believers. Okay, barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Earlier we said that both. Earlier we said that collecting sweat or the particles of wudu is only for the Rasulullah
sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. But I read that when Isa alaihi wasallam will return, wherever his sweat drops, things will grow. So does the same principle not apply to him, or?
Isa alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of those best people. You get an idea? So it is not ba'id to say that the same thing happens with Isa alayhi salam. He's a messenger and a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not far. But we are talking about other than the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to say it is only Rasulullah because he was the last one. Isa alayhi salam is just coming here to complete his time. He is not the last prophet. He's just here to complete his time. If you remove, then I have to use another. Okay, let me just try to finish the class on time.
And my second question is, isn't it better to use the desk as a sutra? Like if you're in an exam hall and they're not going to let you leave to pray, shouldn't you use the desk as your sutra and to pray sitting? Because if you were to stand and pray, there's always a concern that someone's going to walk in front of you. Because
it's better to walk in front of you than praying without standing. Because standing is a rukun in your prayer. When you don't have it and you can afford doing it, your prayer is batil instantly. And sutra doesn't break your fast. When they cross in front of you, it doesn't break your prayer. You get it? So it's better to have the rukun being preserved than having the sutra, you know.
What if they really don't know what a Muslim prayer is and they'll walk right
in front
of you?
We will teach them how. No, seriously. You cannot compromise any of the arkan of the prayer unless if you can't.
Mm.
Yeah. When you can't, then you compromise. Even in the aeroplane, when the place is being provided, they don't mind, you can go and pray. You have to pray standing. You cannot sit down and pray.
Because didn't we say that if a fully grown woman crosses in front of your prayer,
Why do you bring that one? I was trying to... The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said if a woman walk in front of you, then your prayer is gone, as long as she's matured. What must you do in this regard? You block her. Stop her from going. Because you have the space which you own, which is a shibr. Do you get an idea? From the place where you put in your forehead, one span of hand span. You get it? This, from here until here, you start measuring from the place where you put in your forehead. You get it? This is your forehead and you put like this. So here is your territory, the end of your territory. A woman can cross in front of that one. It doesn't affect your prayer because she's going beyond your territory. Anyone who is walking in front of that, you know, they're not walking in front of you. I'm praying here, you know? And then somebody just walk in the last part of the class and then I say, I break my prayer because he crossed. No, he doesn't. It has to be within that range. You know? So when somebody comes, you block them. Tell them not to. If they don't know, you know, too much ignorance, then move forward and give them space. If they don't know, okay, I wish I had my son here, drag their ears and put them from behind, you know. Anyway, inshallah, these things are not going to happen, but in case it happens with somebody, I do believe the authority will understand. And also, that has to be done because they will understand that, yes, Muslims are supposed to pray on time. They will change the system. They might fight him, but the next generation will not receive this. They will modify to avoid fighting again, you know.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa
barakatuh. Ahsanallahu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Sheikh, I have two questions, if you would allow that. Number one, in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ. This alwah, the tablets, is it the Torah or it's another?
It's the Torah.
It's the Torah.
Aynam. In kulli shay'in maw'idatan wa tafsilan li kulli shay'in fakhudha bi kuwatin wa'amur qawmaka ya'khudhu bi ahsani.
Okay. Jazakallah khairan. Second question, Sheikh. We see in the books of tafsir that the ulama, they extracted rulings from stories of the prophets and stories like of the past nations, like in Surah Al-Kahfi and the stories of the prophets as well. They extracted rulings from it. So does this consider shar'u man qablana, the legislation of those before us, or how do you understand that?
Yeah, that's why they have the controversy. If our Sharia supported, you get an idea. If they say this is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of prescription, that means it is theirs and ours. Not just theirs, theirs and ours. You get it? Most of the things are like that, theirs and ours. Being mentioned that they used to have this doesn't mean that this they are the only one who are supposed to have it. We also are included, you know. I mean,
like in the story of Talut, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ
بِنَهَرٍ
فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ
فَمَنْ
لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ. The Shafi'iyya, they used it as evidence that water can be riba, something like that, because it's mat'um. So does this consider شَرُّ مَنْ قَبْلَنَا? Is this considered شَرُّ?
These are all isti'inas. We call it isti'inas. In those specific things, if you take from like this that you have mentioned, and these are all what we call isti'inas. It's not a strong evidence that you depend on. But you're just using it as a supporting evidence. You couldn't find something strong, or you find something strong, but you're looking for something to strengthen that strong one. Yeah, we call it all isti'inas.
It's not istidlal.
We call it isti'inas. Yeah. Laylatul Qadr is only on the 27th of Ramadan. If I'm saying this, I do not say that. Okay, I believe it tatanakkal in the days. Could be 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, inshallah. But then there are some of us who believe that it's only 27th. From the Salaf al-Saleh, in Zaman, the controversy about Laylatul Qadr, you have 40 opinions, more than 40 opinions, actually. The Ramadan itself is only 30 days, you know. And the only time you are expecting Laylatul Qadr is only the last 10 days. 40 opinions. Yeah. So, some of these people who believe that it is on the 27th only, they said this is what Quran says also. Quran says 27th? Yeah, they said because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ سَلَامٌ هِيَ. If you count the word in Surah Al-Qadr, you know, from the beginning, أَنزَلْنَا فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, when you reach here means it is. This word is number 27. What do you call this? Dalil? Istinas. You just laugh and find it so funny and just move forward. And tell him, is there any dalil or not? Yeah, but this is not dalil, you know. I mean, any last word?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Shaykh.
I have two connected questions. The first one regarding the prayer times. So let's say someone missed the prayer in the masjid. Let's say Dhuhr, for example. Is it permissible for the person to prolong praying Dhuhr, given that it's within the appointed time? But let's say there isn't really a reason to prolong it, but given the fact that there's a duration of time in which he can pray, and he chooses to pray before Asr, let's say, for a half an hour, by half an hour.
Meaning, you're talking about he delays the prayer until the last.
Yeah.
He already missed the prayer, right?
He missed the prayer.
And he has the right to delay it, but the scholar said he shouldn't delay it until the last minute, because the possibility of him missing the time is always there. Some scholars said he will be sinning when he delays it until the last minute.
Okay.
But he has a right to delay it until very later time. Let's say Asr time is 4:40, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can delay it up to 4:30. It's okay. No, 4:30 is too risky. You can delay it until 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And to keep a time that, inshallah, no matter what, he can be able to pray.
Okay, and the other one is regarding...
But just before you go to the other question, is it good for him to do that? No. It's better for him to pray at the first part of the time. But it's permissible for him to delay.
So he won't be sinning in general?
He will not be sinning. Bi-idhn al-wahidil ahad. Because Allah gave him, Allah told him from this time until this time.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Make sure you pray before you reach that time.
And
that's it. So he will not be sinning.
And the other one is related to this, but regarding exhaustion. So let's say someone comes from work and the jama'ah is there. So what would be the case if...
He goes to the masjid.
He goes to the masjid.
He has to. Again, very exhausted. Unless if he knows that, going to the jama'ah, he will never pray. He will never know what he is doing. Rahman, send me the link. Yeah, if he knows that going to the jama'ah, he will never know what he is doing. Okay, you have that one. Okay.
Sheikh, in regards to the same question, is it permissible for the person?
Harun, who told you I'm done with the... Who told you have permission to open the camera? I'm the only one who could be seen, you know. So, what I was saying, if a person knows that if he goes to the prayer, he will be very sleepy. He will pray while sleeping. In this case, he goes home and sleep. And ask his wife to wake him up if he has one. Get it? Or he's too exhausted. He knows that he will never focus in that prayer. He can go home and sleep. But that's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must make sure that, yes, this is the case. Then he should go home. He shouldn't go to the masjid. He should go home and sleep. And relax, be fresh, and then come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because prayer is not about just doing. It's about focusing in that doing. You know. So if you know that you are too exhausted, you will never understand what you're doing. You just be just praying, just making the movement to finish. The best is to go home and pray, and sleep, and then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on. You know. Yes, Harun.
In this case, for example, if the person feels that they are so exhausted that they can pray, but standing will be difficult for them, so...
He waits first. He's compromised the jama'ah and wait until the time he can stand. Yeah. He doesn't know about our class, right? So the virtue that is related to the ibadah itself is given preference than the virtue that is related to the place and the time. So having the jama'ah could be compromised to preserve the structure of the prayer itself. Has to do that, you know. What if a person, Allahumma Ameen, what if a person delays the prayer? Asr time, he delays the prayer, Asr prayer. You get it? However, at around 5 is Asr time, right? At around 5:30 or 6, at around 6. Allahumma stand, rahimahullah, he died. And he did not pray. Is he in trouble when he meets Allah? No. Why he's not?
Has he not missed Asr?
No, he missed Asr, but... he intended to pray, that's number two, because Allah SWT is the one who permits him to delay the prayer until that time. He was given the permission by Allah SWT. And death is not his fault. It's not the fault of anyone. You get the idea? However, if he delays it until the time which is the last minute and something comes and deprive him from doing, yeah, then he will be guilty. You know? May Allah grant us good. Any last word? That's finished. Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum.